Hi, my name is Kara McKenzie, a senior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. It's hard for teens to stay firm in their faith as they go through high school. We certainly don't get much support from our culture, and it's tough for our parents and churches to do it alone. That's why I'm at a Lutheran school, preparing me to succeed in college, serve as a Christian leader, and remain rock solid in my faith. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhssstl.org.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association. Two schools, one mission. Become one of the thousands prepared for successful Christian leadership. The Lutheran High School Association, nurturing Christian hearts, building strong minds. LHSASTL.org.
I want a non-gay explanation.
Welcome, everyone, to the Student Union. I'm your host, the Chancellor, Pastor Mark Azil. Welcome to the beautiful campus of LCMSU. Where is LCMSU? It's everywhere. Welcome back to the Student Union, everyone. It is great to have you join us. One quick mail item this week before we dive right into today's interview.
DeMail is here!
The question this week is a real simple one. Hey, I've seen some LCMSU logos that look like they are in different colors. What is up with that? Is that okay? Where can I get one? Well, simply put, these are our custom LCMSU logos. This is literally one of a kind, folks. All you got to do is fill out the form at lcms.org/LCMSU/logo request. Once again, that's lcms.org/LCMSU/logo request. Once you do that, and if you're a chapter, you got to sign up for that first. It may take a couple of weeks, but then you'll have a custom logo made in your official school colors. You can use it anywhere and everywhere, however you like. T-shirts, buttons, stickers, table display items, all sorts of things. In short, we still want to use the green and blue logo as our main LCMSU logo, but when you think about it, what better way to show support for LCMSU, identify yourself, the future LCMS students, yet do it in a way that is completely local in your official school colors. It's awesome. Check it out. That's lcms.org/LCMSU/logo request.
You know, there's been a lot of talk lately about homosexuals, but how do you know what to believe?
I swear, you are acting like such a homophobe.
Well, with us once again this week is Pastor Tom Eckstein. Pastor Eckstein is the pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota. Was one of our featured speakers at the Taboo LCMS National Campus Ministry Conference back in January and had served as the chairman of the God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force for the Synod. Welcome back, Pastor Eckstein.
Good to be back.
Well, thank you for joining us once again. Last week, we kind of talked a little bit in general about the impact of the Supreme Court decision in terms of same-sex marriage now being effectively the law of the land. This week, we want to kind of get a little bit more practical. Most of our college students are either heading back to the college campus or they're getting ready to. We might have some students that they're showing up to be freshmen on a college campus. And, of course, these issues in terms of homosexuality has been a constant topic on almost every college campus of this land for a long time. In fact, we witnessed that at the Taboo Conference. If you recall, for those of you that were at the conference, remember this quite well, and those that weren't, word got out that we were having a conference and we were talking about homosexuality and speaking of it according to God's word. And
A little protest was organized by the LGBT community. It turned out it was winter break and such, and so there wasn't an opportunity to have it be real big, but at the time we didn't really know. But what happened for our listeners, and I don't know if you how much you remember that or if you had a chance to mix and mingle with those folks, but they met us when we came back from the chapel. Our students walked back into the conference center where we were having the plenary session. I think Scott Barefoot was speaking, and some of the students came up to me and said, you know, Pastor Zill, I've worked with these students before. I try to get involved and mingle with them on campus because I hope to have an impact on their lives and have a chance to converse with them. And whenever we get together with like this and these gay pride things, everybody just sits there and yells and kind of almost literally starts throwing things at each other and just gets ugly. And it seems to me that we need to engage them. I don't want them to think that we don't care. And of course, I didn't want to think as the conference planner for the event that we didn't care about them either. And so what we did was I didn't want 475 college students and campus ministry workers talking to 15 LGBTQ protesters. But what we did was we actually, at the suggestion of one of the students, sent about 15 hot chocolates over with a couple of our campus pastors and a couple of our female students and one female student, a campus ministry laywoman who is a worker at her local campus, and they went and dialogued with them for a while. And while nobody changed anybody's mind, I don't think it at least demonstrated that we were willing to talk to them and that we didn't have anything against them personally and that we weren't mean, nasty people.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts or reflections on how that worked?
No, I think that was a wonderful way to handle it. And I debated whether I should go up and introduce myself and engage them. I chose not to. Maybe I should have. I don't know. The reason I chose not to is I didn't want to go up and say, hey, I'm one of the plenary speakers who's speaking directly on homosexuality and wrote a book about it. And I thought I was like, okay, suddenly in your face and here's the main guy. I don't want to intimidate them. And I thought, it might be better if some other people approached them. And thankfully they did. Like you said, we had some pastors and lay people who went up and not only brought them hot chocolate, a kind gesture, but started to have some very civil and loving discussions with them. And I think that's the best way to handle this thing. You know, I've never been into protests. I don't think they accomplish anything. You know, if their side wants to do it, fine, but I don't think our side should do it in return. Instead, we should find a way to try to sit down and have an intelligent, civil conversation about this. And, you know, one example, what I'm trying to do in my own community, you know, the college here at Jamestown University will start classes here at the end of August. And one thing we've done is we've planned an event right there on campus. We've rented out their auditorium on Saturday, September 12th. We're doing an all-day seminar from 9 to 5 titled Homosexuality, Speaking God's Truth in Love. And I'll be one of the main speakers dealing with the biblical side of the issue. And then the other speaker we're bringing in is the same guy we had at Taboo, Scott Barefoot, and he's going to be giving his testimony. But the way we're going to approach this issue, and we're promoting it big time in the community. We're having a big billboard. We're putting up posters, so we're not being, you know, silent about this. But the way we're planning to approach this, because I know what the gay community expects from us, and we're not going to give it to them. I think what they expect is that we're going to rally all the Christians and talk about how we're going to try to fight back the SCOTUS decision and protect ourselves, you know, from the pagan horde that wants to take away our rights as Christians. That's not the way we're going to approach this. I'm going to actually barely even mention the SCOTUS thing. I'm just going to simply say, hey, we're here as Christians, and our main goal as Christians is that we're fellow sinners who want to talk to fellow sinners about the hope we have in Jesus. And the only reason we're addressing this particular issue rather than others is that this particular issue, like abortion, for example, which we also address, it's sort of in our face right now from the culture. So we're kind of being, our hand is being forced, but we want to respond in love and compassion. And so what we're going to do is just lay out, first of all, what does Scripture say about this? And then with a lot of emphasis on the hope that we have in Jesus. And I want to make a comment. We're hoping to get not only Christians at this event. I'm hoping, that's why we had it on campus there. I'm hoping we can draw some of the students and even some of the people in our community who are from the pro-gay position, and we just want them to hear our intelligent response to this, because sadly, I think there's a lot of people on the pro-gay side, especially in liberal denominations, where all they've ever heard was the revisionist arguments for why the Bible, you know, really doesn't condemn this. I don't think they've ever heard an articulate, loving, reasoned discussion from the faithful Christian side, and I want to give that to them. And then we're all, as part of this seminar too, we're also giving plenty of time for Q&A. And we'll let anybody. We're going to make it clear. We'll let anybody ask any question, and as long as it doesn't turn into a yelling, you know, match or a, you know, or you know, a big. Tirade, you know, we'll let anyone come and ask any question they want and engage us in civil discussion. And this is our way of just reaching out and saying, hey, this is the biblical position. We'd like to have a conversation with you. And we'll see where it goes. And I think that's one thing we can, you know, think about trying to do on some of our college campuses where we maybe have an LCMS presence in the community. You know, find a way to sit down and have a public discussion about this in a civil, loving way, and with the understanding that you know, not everybody is even a Christian, and that's one of the things I'm going to point out at this event. I'll say, you know, there might even be some people here today who don't care what the Bible says about this. That's fine, but at least you'll know where we Christians are coming from and why. And if you want to have a discussion about this on another level outside of Scripture, we can do that too. But at least you'll know where we're coming from and why. And one of the big things we're going to try to make clear is that we're not saying homosexuality is the unforgivable sin. In fact, I'm going to publicly apologize for the fact that the church has not only winked at heterosexual sin, but at times we've been pretty unloving to people who struggle with same-sex behavior. And it's time for the church to realize that we're all broken sinners, and our only hope is Jesus. And the only reason we're speaking out on this issue is because of love. And we really want to make that the driving point of this seminar.
Well, this is absolutely excellent. And you said it's September 12th?
Yep, September 12th in Jamestown, North Dakota. I realize that's the, you know, anybody
there's an international airport. People can fly in very easily into Jamestown, North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. We have a gate. I brought in a speaker once a few years ago to speak at an event I had organized on some other issue, and I was going to fly him into Jamestown, and he said, okay, what gate should I meet you at? I said, I'll meet you at the gate. it's a small airport.
Hopefully a lot of our... college students and LCMSU chapters in Fargo and Grand Forks, and maybe those within a few hour radius are hearing about this. Maybe we could get some of those folks to come up. This is absolutely a wonderful thing. I look forward to hearing how it goes, and maybe down the line we can have you or Scott on to kind of talk about the experience. I think everybody would love to hear about that.
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
But one of the things that's wonderful that I just wanted to mention is that. You brought up, you know, we don't need to bring up the SCOTUS decision. Well, you know, you really don't. I mean, that is there, and other people will bring that up. But what I love about your approach is leading with love and not letting this come across as this is the one unforgivable sin. And I do think in many ways that we in the church have been guilty of, you know, the two examples we always use whenever we talk about sinful behavior. It's always homosexuality or living together. And as if there are no other sins, and there are no heterosexual sins beyond those things, or sins that aren't sexual too. And so I love your approach. I think it gives you a chance to get out and really be a true pioneer in terms of putting on an event like that. Has the university been helpful in this regard? How has that gone?
Well, so far we went to the person on campus that's in charge of letting people rent out their auditorium, which they do, and we were very upfront, you know, right from the get-go, what we were going to do. And he gave the A-OK, and we're signed up. Now, I'm waiting to see, is someone higher up at the college going to make an issue of this? I don't know. That could be interesting, though, because, you know, the Jamestown University does like to promote itself as a Christian college, at least in name, and so for them to just out of hand say, no, we won't let you rank our term because of this issue, that might give them some PR they don't want to have. But at the same time, there is definitely some faculty and students on campus who are from the pro-gay side, and that's exactly why we wanted to have it there. I'm hoping we can engage them, especially that the people I especially want to try to deal with are Christians who at least have some some sense that, yes, we should follow the Bible, but they've been duped into thinking that the Bible doesn't say anything about this or that it actually affirms it. And I want to try to address those errors and misconceptions head on.
Well, that now, seems to be one of the things real quick is that people are using this. Well, Jesus never really talked about homosexuality. How do you respond to that?
Oh, yeah. Well, in a nutshell, this whole idea that Jesus never responded to homosexuality, first I say, you know, he never said anything about bestiality or rape or abusing people with disabilities either. He didn't have to, because you have to realize Jesus spoke to the Jewish culture, and the Jewish culture already agreed unanimously that those things were wrong, including homosexual behavior. All the scholars agree that because this isn't even in question. The Jewish cultures of Jesus' day unanimously agreed with the Old Testament that all forms of same-sex behavior, even in loving, committed relationships, would be an abomination. So Jesus didn't really need to address that issue. Secondly, if you go to Matthew 19, where Jesus talks about marriage. He quotes from Genesis and makes it very clear that the only place where God's gift of sex is very good and holy is between one man and one woman in marriage. Outside of that, Jesus is very clear. The only option is celibacy. And then, of course, in another place in the Gospels, Jesus talks about the sinful things that flow from the heart. And one of the sins he mentions in the Greek is porneia, which, by the way, was a Greek word used by the Jews in that day that they used as an umbrella term to cover all the sexual prohibitions that were condemned by God in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20, and that would include homosexual behavior. So when Jesus said that porneia was a sin, that would include same-sex behavior. Mm. And then finally, you have to remember that Jesus entrusted his teaching with the apostles, so the apostles' teaching is Christ's teaching. Well, even though Jesus didn't need to address the same-sex issue in the Jewish culture because it was a non-issue, they already agreed it was wrong. When Paul, who now gives us Christ's teaching, when he goes to the Gentiles, to the Greek culture, where some did affirm same-sex behavior, Paul deals with the issue head-on, and he clearly does condemn it. And so my point is, since Paul speaks for Jesus, obviously, Jesus did have an issue with same-sex behavior. So this whole idea that, well, Jesus never mentioned it's really a meaningless argument when you look at the entire narrative of Scripture on the issue.
Well, that's fantastic, and I think that'd be a helpful thing for our college students to keep in mind, because that seems to me that's kind of a key question that many people will bring up on a college campus, mostly out of their own ignorance of the scriptural text in general. Do you have any other advice for college students as they head back to college this fall in terms of dealing with, you know, we're going from being the majority opinion, or at least in perception, to now being in the minority, because it's going to be put in everybody's face that, well, hey, same-sex marriage is legal now, and so you Christians need to shut up. And what kind of advice do you have for our young people out there that are getting ready to head back to school and into that kind of an environment?
Well, first of all, you know, even though the issue of same-sex behavior is one of the issues they'll be confronted with, especially in light of the recent SCOTUS decision, you know, there's tons of other sin issues, as we mentioned, too. And so my advice when you're on campus, don't feel like you have to go on a huge crusade for what the Bible says about homosexuality. Be prepared to give a witness to it in love and articulately. But I would say, first of all, when you go on campus, start building relationships and friendships, starting with your roommate and the people in your dorm. Become friends with them. Don't be shy about the fact that you're a Christian, but maybe, especially if you're dealing with people who have very little knowledge of Christianity, or in some cases, you know, on a lot of our college campuses, we have, you know, foreign students from completely other religions, Hindu, Buddhism, you know, who knows what. You know, and as I've mentioned before, let's say you meet somebody who's Hindu and you find out he's in the gay lifestyle. Guess what? Don't start out your witness to him about why same-sex behavior is wrong. You know, he's got bigger issues. You know, he doesn't even know who the true God is. He doesn't even know who Jesus is and why he had to die on the cross. You know, if you're dealing with non-Christians, start with the more core issues of the Christian faith, and then, you know, eventually you can lead lean towards the same sex issue. On the other hand, let's say you meet some people on campus who identify as Christians. They might even say, "Yeah, we should follow the Bible." But what we've been taught, the Bible doesn't really condemn same sex behavior. Well, then in that case, sit down and say, "Hey, can we go on a loving journey together? Can we sit down and take time to actually go through the scriptures and look at what it actually says?" And rather than getting in a shouting match and just throwing Bible verses at people, sit down and say, can we actually study this together and really look at what the Bible says about this and see if these arguments you've heard that refute what Christians throughout history have always said the Bible says in this issue. Well, let's take a look at this, you know, civilly and carefully and see if these arguments actually hold up. And then maybe propose the question before you do this. Say, hey, you know, if I can show you from Scripture that you've been misled and duped on this, you know, do you want me to do that? Do you really want to know if you've been misled? And then you'll find out how serious these people are. Do they really want to follow what Scripture says, or are they just, you know, believing what they want to believe and they don't really want to be corrected? But the whole point is, be willing to engage people where they're at and ultimately look for an opportunity to share the gospel, to tell them about the person and work of Christ. Because the last thing we want to do is even though we have to have this discussion about same-sex behavior and marriage, the last thing we want to do is make it sound like that's what Christianity is all about. You know, condemning a particular sin, when really the essence of Christianity is about who Jesus is and what he did for us. We don't want to forget that's our central focus, and to make sure we bring that into the conversation.
Well, it's speaking in terms of getting people back to Christ, which is where you ultimately always want to get them in any conversation. In reality, it seems to me, I'd like to get your thoughts on this, we can either focus on all the why we're against homosexuality or against same-sex marriage and why we're against these things, or we can put our emphasis and our energy into what we're for. The other side of the coin is that it seems to me that we have a tremendous opportunity. When you think about what Paul, you know, says in Ephesians about the mystery of the bonds of marriage, and that it's not just about a man and a woman in the confines of the state of matrimony, but it really is showing the world a picture of Christ and his bride, the church. It seems to me that while a lot of this is, you know, unfortunate with the SCOTUS decision and kind of many of the things that we may have to face as a result, but we also have a magnificent opportunity to show people what real marriages look like, and also spend our time not just, you know, explaining to our young people about why homosexuality is wrong, but teaching them about what is right about the gift of marriage in the beginning.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, one of the arguments that some people have from the pro-gay side is saying, you know, you're so opposed to same-sex marriage, well, why don't you take the log on your own eye and do something about all the horrible heterosexual marriages out there, you know, that are so dysfunctional.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, and then our response is, you're right.
Yep.
You know, a lot of the marriages that we see out there between one man and one woman are horribly dysfunctional, and let me tell you why, because it's not what God intended. Let's show you what God really intended marriage to be like. And then once you show them the picture of what marriage was meant to be and how it ultimately is a picture of the even greater relationship that God wants with his people, his bride, the church, then we can also point out the fact that, you know, you're right. A lot of heterosexual marriages have been messed up, but you know what? We don't solve that problem by redefining marriage and distorting it all the more. we solve the problem by going back to the original paradigm and then trying to fix the marriages that fall short of that. But that's part of the problem. You know, the solution to completely redefine marriage as though that has made things better. No, it's actually made things worse. It's taken us farther away from the paradigm rather than trying to get us back closer to it.
Well, we're getting to the point here where we got to kind of wrap things up. Just got about a minute left. Any last thoughts for our college students that you'd like to share with them as they head back to school?
I would say if you want to be prepared to, if God gives you an opportunity to discuss this issue with somebody, but you're not sure if you're ready, there's some good books out there. There's my book, Bearing Their Burden. I deal with a lot of the revisionist arguments that you might be confronted with if you have a discussion about this. Another good book, especially if you encounter somebody who maybe has a family member who is involved in the Gay Life Scholar and actually wants to know and a witness to them. Another good book is a book by Joe Dallas entitled When Homosexuality Hits Home. Mm. And then one other book I'd like to plug, we've mentioned Scott Barefoot several times. He has a book out from the Wisconsin Synod's Northwestern Publishing House. The book is entitled Forgive Us Our Sins. And that's also an excellent book because it gives Scott Barefoot's testimony along with a pastor who co-authored the book with him that lays out the biblical teaching too. So those would be some good resources, those books I mentioned, that to give you the foundation you need to be able to talk about this in an articulate way that has emphasis on the gospel.
Excellent ideas and wonderful discussion, Pastor Eckstein. Thank you on behalf of everybody. Thank you for being there for us with us at Taboo. Thank you for sticking your own neck out in terms of writing a wonderful book called Bearing Their Burden, speaking the truth in love to people burdened by homosexuality. And God's richest blessings to you and Scott Barefoot and your community and your congregation and everyone as you put this event on September 12th. We pray it's a wonderful witness to the gospel and the love that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, my privilege.
Thank you.
Well, that should about do it here on the campus of LCMSU. Yeah, I know you'd love to hang out here longer. I would too. But we'll see you back here next week. And while you wait, be sure to check out LCMSU at lcmsu.org. And hey, next week, invite your friends. They'd probably love to hear this program too. Please download archives and listen to back programs at the Student Union and KFUO.org. Once again, we'll look forward to seeing you here next week. And remember, college students, wherever you go to school, we look forward to having you all the time. Join us here in the Student Union on the campus of LCMSU. You're never far away from home. Home is where Christ is. Because remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association. Two schools, one mission. Become one of the thousands prepared for successful Christian leadership. The Lutheran High School Association, nurturing Christian hearts, building strong minds. LHSASTL.org.